translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Father of the three worlds, and his bosom is the residence of Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the proprietor of all opulences. The goddess of fortune, by her favorable and merciful glance, can increase the opulence of the three worlds, along with their inhabitants and their directors, the demigods. Purport. According to the desire of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, made his bosom her residence so that by her glance she could favor everyone, including the demigods and ordinary human beings. In other words, since the goddess of fortune stays on the bosom of Narayan, she naturally sees any devotee who worships Narayan. When the goddess of fortune understands that a devotee is in favor of devotional service to Narayan, she is naturally inclined to bless the devotee with all opulences. The karmis try to receive the favor and mercy of Lakshmi, but because they are not devotees of Narayan, their opulence is flickering. The opulence of devotees who are attached to the service of Narayan is not like the opulence of karmis. The opulence of the devotee is as permanent as the opulence of Narayan himself. Omagya Timanandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksuram Litam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Panchakalputuyobhyasya kripa sindhu bhaiva cha patitanam bhavnevyo vaishnavyo namo. Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Service is something which is very much part of everyone's life in some form or another. In some way or another, we are engaged in some kind of service to others. And it is explained in the Nectar of Devotion that whatever service one renders, the objective of that service is what we derive from it. To the extent of nectar or rasa or pleasure, we derive from that service. So therefore it is explained that there are although there are multi varieties of service, in this world, it comes under two categories. The essence of service in this world comes under two categories. One is, mundane ras, and the other is bhakti ras. In the same way, we could also say that we call ourselves by different names for different activities that we may do there is hundreds and thousands of identities that we have in this world. But Krishna is very kind to us, and he's reduced all these multivarious categories of personalities and names we give ourselves to two groups, and that is that we are either a devotee or we are a non-devotee. So this makes actually things much easier for us. Our philosophy becomes much more easier just because of those two factors, that we don't have to search around in these multivarious kinds of names of service and their services itself. The service itself is either service to Maya or service to Krishna, and the essence of these services that we render puts us into two categories. We are either a devotee or we are a non-devotee. But nevertheless, until we come to the point of pure devotional service, we're always hovering in between these two categories of bhakti ras and mundane ras. Yeah. I found this in one shop which I liked very much. And I was looking at it for some time, and I was wondering, what did this mean? And I asked the shopkeeper, what does this signify, this three monkeys sitting on top of each other. One is covering his ears, the other is covering his mouth, and the other one is being covered by the one above him, covering his eyes. And I was informed that this is three wise monkeys. Generally, monkeys are not very wise. They're not even in the mode of passion. They're usually very much steeped in the mode of ignorance. But these are three wise monkeys, because they don't want to hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil. Hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil. This is what we're trying to accomplish in our perfection of devotional service to Krishna. But as I said, in between leaving complete mundane ras to accepting bhakti ras and coming to the highest stage of bhakti ras in pure devotional service, we are a little bit mixed. It's a mixed devotional service. Yes. We may be like the monkey. For some time I see no evil, but then we may place one finger out of one eye. Well, just a little bit of evil won't make that much difference. So tonight I will watch a Hollywood movie. I've heard it's not that bad anyway. Yeah, they may have certain suggestions of mundane rasa, but it's only a PG. What is it? Huh? PG what? 13? PG rating. And we give all our, we make a list of reasons why it's not really so bad to watch this movie. And so we watch it. And then the next day we try to chant our 16 rounds and we get into trouble because we cannot concentrate because we're thinking of the night before in the arena of mundane ras. And sometimes devotees even rationalize, well, there may be a little bit of naughtiness in this film, but I'm a devotee. I see through this mundane ras. So it really does not affect me. But actually it will affect us. We may be following the four regulative principles and chanting our 16 rounds. But if we watch those who are not following the four regulative principles and breaking them, then we are associating with them. Maybe in an indirect way, we are also actually committing breaking the four regulative principles. So that kind of association is not very good, but it takes time. You know, within devotional achievements, we're struggling, especially in the very beginning. We haven't exactly woke up from our deep dream-like state of material life. Yeah, the example is given that if you wake up in the morning, you don't wake up immediately. There's a period between waking and wide awake. Yeah? We know this period. It's a not very nice time. We get up and we go to the bathroom and we're brushing our teeth and we're looking in the mirror and we look terrible, we feel terrible, and another day. But then when we take a shower, we tend to spring into action. Oh, another day. Krishna consciousness, ki jai. So, you know, back to yoga is like that. It's a gradual process of coming out from a dream-like state. Because it's explained that the dream is not just a night dream. We dream nighttime and we dream daytime. It's nighttime dreams and daytime dreams. One king woke up one morning. He called his ministers. He said, I have a query. Last night I dreamt I was a butterfly and that dream was so real. I can even see now, I can even remember the colors of my body as a butterfly and how I was flying from flower to flower and taking the essence from the nectar from the flowers. So I have a query. Am I a king that was dreaming that I was a butterfly? Or am I a butterfly now dreaming that I'm a king? That was his inquiry to his ministers. And of course the answer to that question is you're neither a king or a butterfly. You're a spirit soul and you're identifying with nighttime dreams and daytime dreams. So Krishna consciousness is a formula by which we wake up to the reality of what our real constitutional, our eternal constitutional position is. That Jivera Svarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, that we are actually eternally the servants of Krishna. Here Lakshmi Devi, she has made her choice. She was searching around. She looked at different rasas, different personalities, and she ended up choosing the only personality that she felt was worthy of choosing, which was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan. And in fact, although it says here that she was placed on his bosom, her constitutional position is at his feet, serving his lotus feet. She wants to serve Krishna. She knows that Krishna is not really, he's Atmaram. He doesn't need her necessarily, but she needs him. And that is our position too, that Krishna doesn't necessarily need our service, our in whatever actually we give him. Just like the flowers, they're just being brought in for the Lord. If we examine these flowers, they're not the same kind of flowers that are being offered in the spiritual world. But it's the best we can do. It's the best that we have acquired. We go into the kitchen, we prepare different preparations. We do our best to please the Lord. But he's not in need of our flowers and he's not in need of our foodstuffs that we prepare, because he's already getting so much from the real service mood of his devotees in the spiritual world. So the onus is not really so much on Krishna having to accept what we're offering, but the onus is that we need to at least do some service at the lotus feet of Krishna so that we can advance and progress further in our forward march back home, back to Godhead. So we have to, as devotees, somehow come to realize the real blessings we have before us. What actually is real opulence? Do we recognize the opulence around us? Do we see the deity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present before us in his Archa Vigraha form? Or do we only see a stone statue? The holy name is coming from Golok. Do we chant our japa in the morning in the spirit of appreciation that Krishna has come all the way from Goloka in the form of his holy name so that we can say Krishna in a mood of gratitude and loving feelings that Krishna is so merciful that he has appeared, not only in the form of the deity, so that we can serve, but also in the form of his name, so that we can associate with him while we chant. We can also take prasadam. That's one way of doing it, but we can also respect prasadam. That's another way. So, they're on two different levels, taking prasad and respecting prasad. The association with devotees, how much do we actually appreciate the association of devotees? If your spiritual master suddenly pointed to you and said, Hare Krishna, I want you to spend now 5 minutes, come and stand here before me. Spend 5 minutes and glorify a particular devotee here. Let's say we have a nice devotee here before us. And for most of us, if we're put on the spot like that, because we are put on the spot, if someone else tells you, you can maybe say, no, it's okay, Prabhu, it's all right. It's all right. Hare Krishna. But if your spiritual master suddenly puts you on the spot and says, now speak, what do you feel from this devotee before you? I can imagine for me, I can only speak for myself, but I can imagine it will take some time to go actually right into the recesses of my heart to say something nice about a particular devotee. Why? Because we're not used to doing it. Most often we tend to look, at least, again, I will speak for myself. I can look at a devotee and think, nice devotee, but what can I get out of him? Yeah, it's that kind of mentality that we haven't quite understood the opulence of a devotee. The great fortune of being able to associate with a devotee. With devotees. I'm sure that if we got right down to it, right to the recesses of our hearts and minds, we could say very wonderful things about the devotees around us. But we need to go right down into heart. And sometimes I think this is what we miss in Krishna, at least this is my perception. And although this perception, I must say something positive first, it has changed over the last 40 years, at least since I've been a devotee. But we can go that much more further. And besides doing our service, besides being active, we could also spend more time being a little bit more meditative, more time appreciating the things that have been given to us. And we will see from that actually, alongside with our service, we extend our appreciation for what we have actually been given. Then we will see that actually our life as a devotee will be that much more ecstatic and wonderful. To actually open our eyes to the opulence that has been given to us will make us feel less inclined to thinking, oh, poor me. I, me, mine, what I haven't done, what I haven't achieved, how will I ever, etc., etc., etc. We tend to revolve our life around those kind of things. And it prevents us from entering into this very, very deep Amrita Rasa of devotional service and be appreciative. It's actually a privilege. We should see it like that. It is a privilege to be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a privilege. I want to read at least some verses of appreciations of different devotees who have understood the essence of devotional service. And their attachment for Krishna. This is a very famous verse, the last verse in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and immortality. That is my opinion. This is from Queen Kunti. I wish that all these calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you. See you again and again, for seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated birth and death. This is from Marge Ambrish. Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the glories of the Lord, his hands in cleaning the Lord's temple, and his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. Maharaj Ambarish engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna, Krishna's temple, and Krishna's places like Mathura and Vrindavan. He engaged his senses of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. He engaged his senses of smell in smelling the fragrance of Tulasi offered to the Lord, and he engaged his tongue in tasting the Lord's prasadam. Maharaj Ambarish engaged his legs in walking to the holy places and the temples of the Lord, his head in bowing down before the Lord, and all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service, in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord, and be completely freed from all material desires. And the last one, from Yamuna Acharya. Since my mind has been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing every new pleasure in Him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. So this is the culmination of pure devotional service, that those pleasures in the material world, which, as this last verse, the highest pleasure is material sex pleasure, the pleasure between male and female, considered the highest pleasure within this world. But the pleasure of devotional service, the pleasure of coming face to face with Krishna, associating with Krishna, becoming attached to Krishna, that attachment will detach us from all inauspiciousness that is within the world at large and within ourselves. And a nice verse which we sometimes read before the Bhagavatam class: by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed, and loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, becomes established as an irrevocable fact. So it is a fact. There is no doubt that our path, this path that we've taken, our journey, our spiritual journey to the highest perfection of life, is achievable. We have everything to gain and nothing to lose by our daily service to Krishna. So let us try to perform that service, and let's try to also practice appreciating the gifts around us so that we can perform that service that much more better. I will stop there. It's 8:30. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam class ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaur Premanand.